Good morning. You know, any of you that's ever been through anything in your life, and you know you've turned it over to Jesus Christ, you know you need Him more than you've ever did. Amen. Used to be a song we sung, I need Jesus now more than ever. And I want to tell you now, I need Him more on this day right here than I needed Him 5 days ago, or that I needed Him 200 days ago, or 300, whatever. I need Him more today than I needed Him 10 years ago. You know, we all need Him. And praise God, we need our Savior to be what He's not, you know, and I say this, and this you've heard this said before, He's not some baby in a manger now, folks. We celebrate His birth. We celebrate that, but praise God, He's not a baby in a manger. He is going to come as a conquering king again one of these days. He's coming back. Whether people believe it, whether they want to fill it in their hearts or not, the Lord that I serve is coming back. That's not the question. The question I ask you this morning is whether or not you know Him as your Savior. That's the most important question that you will ask. That is the most important thing that you will ever ask in your life. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to be over in 2 Peter, the first chapter. I'm going to read down a few verses. You can follow. I'm going to start with the first verse. I'll read it here in a minute. I want to ask you, have you ever heard the saying, measure twice and cut once? I'm sure you've heard it. I've lived it, I've experienced it. If you ask my wife, it's probably not been, but it's probably worse than that. To say the least. Of course it's an old saying, and we've heard it. You know what? You make a mistake in your measurement, and it may be, you know, it may be necessary to cut it again. And what's it do? What's it saying is you're wasting time, you're wasting effort, and you may even waste money if you have to do something like that. Believe you me, I throwed many of stuff away because it was not cut right. Hey, ouch, I know. Paul's asking the same question. I'll get into the scripture here in a minute. But he's asking the same question as it pertains to our walk with Christ. That's what he's asking. He's asking to make sure. Now let's read the scripture starting in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us throughout the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to the glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make that ye shall neither, get this if you don't get anything else, be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Get that. Mark it in yellow if you have to. Paste it down, wherever you have to do. But I'm going to read that again. Number one, if these things be in you and abound, they not only have to be in you, they have to abound in you. And that they make that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and your election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never what? You shall never fall. If you make sure, measure twice and cut once. Let us pray. Father, as I come before you and stand here behind this desk this morning, you know, Father, I pray, Lord, that the word would go out, Lord. They would open up into hearts, Lord, and the hearts could understand and see. If there's anyone here this morning, Father, that doesn't know you, that doesn't understand, or maybe they know you, Lord, as a person, but maybe they're growing, and they're not growing the way they should. We pray, Father, this morning, that they would make it sure in their hearts this morning before they leave this place. I pray that. You're so good to us. I praise you for your love. I praise you for what you've done, your work on the cross. I praise you for all that. In Jesus Christ, we ask it all. And amen. Amen. Paul's asking us the same question there whenever he's talking. He's asking if our measurements are sure. That's what he's asking us. And the question is intensely personal. I want to tell you something. I cannot answer that for my wife. My wife cannot answer it for me. You cannot answer it for your children, and your children cannot answer it to you. You know what? You grandparents, you cannot answer it for one another. I want to tell you this morning, you cannot answer it for me, and I can't answer it for you. We have to answer that question for ourselves this morning. Where do you lie? Where's your walk with Jesus Christ is this morning? I want to ask you that, and I want to ask you that heartfeltly this morning. I'm as sure as I'm standing here this morning, everyone in the sound of my voice knows exactly where they stand in Jesus Christ this morning. You know where you stand. There's no doubt in my mind. If you're honest with yourself, and you're saying to yourself, you know what, I'm not sure. I want to tell you something this morning. If you're not sure, you're not there. And I cannot say it any plainer than that. Because, you know, it's a no-so salvation. It is. If you know Jesus as your personal Savior, the Bible tells us we can have assurance. 1 Thessalonians 1, 4 and 5. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. He's what he's saying, knowing your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in words only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. He's not doubting. He's saying in much assurance. He goes on to say, as ye know what manner of men were among you for your sakes. That's what he's telling us. He said, our gospel came not unto you in words only, but by the power of the Holy Ghost that comes into you when you're saved. You know that you're saved because the Spirit of God will rise up in you. There'll be no doubt. The moment I got up out of there and I got saved, I knew that there had been a change. I did not have to ask anybody. I knew what swelled up inside of me. And praise God, I knew because the Holy Ghost of God, the Holy Spirit, indwelled me. Yes, we can be sure. If you're not sure, let's remeasure. Let's do that. The first question you must ask yourself is, did you sincerely repent and publicly profess your sins the moment that you accepted Jesus Christ in your heart? Did you do that? It says over in Romans 8 through 10 tells us, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preached. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession unto salvation. What he was trying to say, oh, praise God, listen to me. Don't make it out to be any harder than what it was, but also understand that you have to do these things to know that Jesus Christ lives within your heart. You have to know it. Praise God. For man believeth unto righteousness. I tell you what, it's not so much to believe that he was the babe in the cradle. Yes, we have to believe he was born of a virgin birth. We know that. But you know what, praise God? We have to believe that he was a man, God, that walked upon this earth, and that he died for the sins of the world, that they put him in a tomb, that he rose again on the third day, and praise God, he lives today. He still lives. Believe it. You know, we have to believe it. And then you know what? I want to tell you this. I believe this in my heart. Whenever Greg was talking about the testimonies, I could have just about shouted because this is part of my sermon today. Do you know what? What you believe here inside this heart is going to come out. Amen. Sometime it's going to come out. If you believe Jesus Christ lives within here, there's going to be times, I don't care if you stand up and just say, you know, I love the Lord because he saved me. It's going to come out. I tell you what, I couldn't help but speak of something. You know what? We have no trouble. If our team wins the Super Bowl or wins the World Series, we have no trouble going to work and wearing the shirts and saying, you know what? Hey, my team won! Yeah. Praise God, we're on the winning side. Right, amen. Go back to the book. Go back in Revelation. We win, folks! We should be wearing the shirts saying, we win! Because we did. We win. Praise God, we are part of the winning team. And you know what? Are you able to recall the moment that you personally asked Christ into your heart? Why is that important, preacher? I want to ask you something. What happened on September 11th, 2001? What happened? You know what happened. Everybody, tell me, does everybody here remember what you was doing on 2011, 2001, or 01, what you was doing that day? I bet pretty much all of you, I know what you were doing from the hours of 8:45 a.m. until you probably fell asleep that night. Most of you were probably watching the news, right? All right, what was happening on September the 11th, 2000 in your life? Anybody tell me? How many of you here remember your anniversary date? Huh? I know all of you do. You know who? You remember your anniversary date, right? Huh? All right. You know the date that you... Sean, what day was you married? I'm going to put you on the spot here. November 20th, what year? 99? What was happening in your life that day in 98? Couldn't tell me. But you remember that day there. Why? Because it's etched into your heart. It's etched into your mind because you remember those dates. Whenever Jesus Christ comes into your heart, you remember when He did it. You hear my testimony right here all the time. You might get sick of it. But I know what happened to me on that October Wednesday night back in 1974. I'll never forget it. Why? Because it's the most important decision that I ever made in my life. Praise God, that's what happened to me because Jesus Christ came into my heart. He lifted me up. He lifted me up and He showed me. He saved me from what I was headed. I will never forget that as long as God gives me a mind to remember. I will never forget that. Like all the other important dates that's come along, the birth of my children, my marriage, everything else that's come along, I remember those dates. Why? Because they're etched into my conscience. And praise God, whenever Jesus Christ comes around, He saved me. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved again. Praise God, we remember that because we got saved. Amen? Do you know what you have? Do you know that what you have, the witness of God's Holy Spirit in your heart? Do you know that? Did you know that whenever Jesus Christ said that the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, the witness, comes into our heart? Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, in whom after that ye believed, were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The day that you got saved, the Holy Spirit stamped His seal on you.
Amen.
Do you know that? Do you know what He did? Do you know, praise God? That means that whenever we go out here in this world, the Holy Spirit has stamped that seal upon us, and the devil can't take it away. Yeah, there's times that people give it back. But I'll tell you what, He ain't going to take it. Nobody's going to take it away because that seal's there. Praise God. Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. 1 John 4:20, hereby know ye that ye dwell in Him and He in us because He has given us of His Spirit. You want to know how that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt? You want to measure? You want to measure twice and then cut once? You want to make sure that you're there because the Spirit of God is swelling up within you. There are times after I got saved that there's times that where I feel the Holy Spirit from time to time. He'll come and He'll sup with me. He'll help me. He'll set my soul on fire. And that's the way the Holy Spirit works. That's the way it works. If you're here today and unsure if you measure up to God's standards, you come right now. I want you to come right now. And you know what? And come up here to this altar and make sure. Now, I want to tell you something. Don't try to measure up to me. Don't try to measure up to anybody else in this church. You measure up to God, His Son Jesus Christ, and the Word of God. That's who you measure up to, right? That's exactly who you have to measure up to. Because you know what? Where we get ourselves in trouble so many times is we try to measure up to other people. We try to have our Christian life be what some other person's Christian life is. And we are going to fall on our face. Because you know why? If you watch people long enough, they are going to fail you. They will fail you. You know what? If I'm trying to measure myself up to Ron's life, and I keep measuring it up to him, and then what happens if Ron does something that's not quite right? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start thinking, you know what? Is this thing right also? That's why I measure myself up to Jesus Christ. Amen? The only one. The only one that we need to measure our lives up to is Him. If we do that, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, we will measure up to right. We will do that. If you're unsure, make sure you're measuring is spot on. Make sure it's just right there. You know, have you ever heard the saying that some people are going to miss heaven by 12 inches? Have you ever heard that? You know what they're talking about? It's from here to here. Sometimes they think that they're right, but they don't have the heart. They don't have it in the heart. You know, 12 inches are, for some people, 30.48 centimeters, if you want to go that way with it. But you know what? That's the distance between what we think sometimes in our heart. We have to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's in our heart, that Jesus Christ lives within our hearts. This is the kind of salvation we need. It's not something that we think we know. We need to know it. So no, sir. The general, to see some people think that they're right, and they think, you know what, and they know without knowing that they're right. I want you to know something this morning. If you leave here this morning, understand this. Know that you're right with Jesus Christ. Don't think it. Don't think it. The devil, you know one of the things too, the devil wants you to think you're right. The devil wants you to think that everything's all right, because as long as you're thinking that everything's all right, you're not listening to the Holy Spirit draw you and try to convict you. This type of mismeasurement can cost you an eternity in hell. Do you understand what I'm saying? It can cost us. Preacher, I'm a good person. I've never cheated on my spouse. You can say that. I always help people out in need, worked hard all my life. I took care of my family. I've never had drugs or alcohol or tobacco or anything like that go into my body. I've never said a bad word about anybody. Never. I applaud you for that. But you know what? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know Jesus Christ personally as your Savior? Preacher, you're splitting hairs, you might say. You know what? You may say, well, preacher, you're splitting hairs. Yes, they are. When it comes to salvation, those measurements ought to be spot on. Can I say that? They need to be spot on, because when it comes down to your salvation, I want you to know something. You make sure that you live where Jesus Christ wants you to live, not what some other person wants you to do. That measurement's very important. Being of a maybe can be costly to our everyday life. If I know most, some of you guys, people have worked in different jobs. I know Greg has, and I know Ed worked some maintenance, and some other people in here have worked different jobs, worked in maintenance and different jobs like that. You know what? You get down to where you come to thousandths of an inch can cost, I know it does up the plant, can cost us big money. And I'll explain it to you just a little bit. And I know you don't want to get bored with all this kind of stuff, but we have to put pumps in up there that have seals in them, mechanical seals. These seals can run anywhere from $50,000 a piece up to $15,000 a piece of some of the cheapest ones. We put them in on these pumps, and we have to put them in, and we have to make sure they are aligned perfectly. Why? Because they have faces in them that will crack, and if they crack, they let stuff out into the atmosphere, and we get fined for that stuff. So what do? They buy us laser alignment kits. We have to put them on these pumps, and these things have to be within thousandths of an inch. We're talking the distance of a hair. That's how close that they have to be. And if they're not that, those seals can crack because they're out of line. And how they do it with us? They can put smiley faces on. These things come up with smiley faces to show us that they're right. I said, good, because I'm stupid anyway. I'd be great. But that's how that they show us. But that's why it's important. And if you're cutting anything, if you're doing anything for any kind of work, Rick can tell you back here. He does work. He does. If it's out by a little bit, Rick, at the other end of it, it could be out a bunch, could it not? So it's important that we get things measured right. So why do we not think that when we're dealing with our salvation, that we should not have it right? We need to have it right. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are ye saved through faith. That not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. When it comes to salvation, make sure that you measure twice and cut once. And what I'm saying is, make sure that you are where you need to be. Make sure it's spot on when it comes to salvation, brothers. So 2 Peter 1:10, it says, I'm going to get back. Now let me ask you something. Maybe you're a Christian sitting in here this morning. Maybe you're sitting in here this morning, and maybe you don't feel the way that you used to feel. Maybe your life is, maybe you've grown a little indifferent about some things. Maybe you've not done what you said you should have done. You know what? Whenever it's talking about the 2 Peter right here, when it says this first chapter, the 10th verse, wherefore the rather, brethren, that's talking about Christian people. That's what it's talking about. It says right here, give diligence to make sure your calling and election is sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Make sure where you stand with God is one. You know, notice verse 8, it says, if these things be in you, back up to verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, They make that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What things is he talking about? Well, if you back up even further, it tells you what he's saying. He's talking about faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, kindness, and love. As Christians, we need to measure twice and cut once when it comes to these things. We need to know exactly where we stand with every one of these. We do, because you know why? You don't want to be barren, do you, in your Christian walk? You don't want to be unfruitful in your Christian walk. He's telling us if we take and notice these things here and make sure that we take care of them, praise God, he will direct us and we won't be barren. We won't be unfruitful in our Christian walk. As Christians, we need to measure that. Take inventory, is to say, of our lives regularly to see if we are measuring up to what the Word of God says. What it says. The trouble starts, brothers and sisters, when we don't do that. That's where the trouble starts. Whenever we start measuring up to everything out here in the world, that's whenever the trouble starts. Maybe they were solid as a rock. Maybe there's people out there as solid as a rock that you've seen down through the years, and maybe they've fallen. I'll tell you what, that hurts. It does. I told you that earlier. Hebrews 12:2 tells us this. The author and the finisher of our faith is who? Who is it? It's Jesus Christ. Amen? That's who it is. If we don't take inventory from time to time, we can become barren. We can become unfruitful. Why is it important to take inventory of our Christian walk? Why is that important? Because I don't know about you, but I want to grow in the grace and the knowledge and the understanding of God's Word. Every day that I'm here, every day that I walk on this planet, I want to be able to say, Lord, you help me to grow. You do that. What's unfruitful mean? It says not producing fruit. That's what it means. Barren, not producing offspring, not producing good efforts or work, not unproductive, not fertile. Galatians 5:22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit. Well, now I wrote some things down here with it. The work which is present within our accomplishments is love, joy, which is gladness, peace, patience, it's even temper and forbearance, kindness and goodness, gentleness, meekness, humility, self-control with self-restraint and continuance. Against such thing there is no law that can bring a change, brothers and sisters. Only Jesus Christ working through us can bring these things out. And we have to keep taking inventory of these things to make sure that these things are coming out in our lives. Matthew 7:16-18. You will be, this is the Amplified Bible. I wrote this down. I don't know, like I said, I don't normally do this, but I thought this was good. And it says, you will fully recognize them by their fruits. Do people pick grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? Even so, every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the sickly tree bears bad. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear excellent fruit. The equation, you know what he's trying to say here? The equation I lay out requires this, folks. The things in order, the things must be in order. If you look at 2 Peter 1:5, it tells us out there, it says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Diligence is what we have to do, period. We have to try to pay attention to what we are doing. We have to pay attention to how our Christian walk is going. You know what? You might get it for, I think about this when I'm talking about fruit trees. Whenever we're talking about how we bear fruit. Alright, if you take an apple tree, any kind of a fruit tree, and you put that thing and you say, you know what? It takes what to make the fruit grow? It takes sunshine. It takes nourishment. It takes people pruning it sometimes. Do you understand that that's what God does with us to try to help us to grow? You know, Jesus Christ, if we walk in His light, if we walk in the light of Jesus Christ, you know what? He does all this stuff for us. So we have to understand, yes, we have to measure twice and cut once because God wants us to make sure where we're walking with Him. And I praise God for that. If you know your Bible, and I know you folks here do, I think you folks are very smart about knowing your Bible. I'm not talking about works, and you know that, just works from being saved. You're not going to be saved by works alone. You just can't do it. That's just not the way the Bible says. You know, our works will come. And I want to... is we're saved through grace through faith. Can I have this expression that Bobby Webb always says all the time? You ever heard Bobby? He says, hello? Bobby will say that from time to time. Let me explain. The fruit comes forth as a result of the Holy Ghost in our lives. If the Holy Ghost is working inside of us, fruit will come forth. It has no choice but to do it. We do not make the fruit grow ourselves. We cannot do it by ourselves. But we have to nurture that gift within us. We have to do it. Just like the fruit trees. These things have to be nurtured. You know what? God will prune us once in a while, will He not? The Holy Spirit through God will prune us once in a while to help us to bear more fruit. Praise God this morning. I tell you, I'm about done. But I want to say this morning. Listen to me. We have to make sure that we measure, keep on measuring how many times it takes, and make sure that we are sure of the measurement before we put the mark down, before we cut. Amen? We have to do that. They come and get a song this morning.